Today. Let me ask you again, how many's ready to stay planted? All right, we've been in this series today. We're going to close it out today. It's been an 8-week series on staying planted. We've been in it since the first of the year. And it's been a great series. I hope you've been challenged by the series today. I know I've been personally challenged by it and have been wanting to share it for a while. And I hope that you're getting the understanding of the power of our environment, that our environment matters to God. Last week, for those of you who maybe missed it because of the weather, weren't able to be here. Last week, our life group pastors, Pastor Tom, joined me on stage, and he and I did a tag team last week, and he and I talked together and had a very frank and open discussion with each other and with the congregation on why God wants us to be planted in life groups. And it was such a powerful, powerful revelation as we got into the Word of God, confronting some issues in our own hearts and really looked at the scripture. And we see all the scripture backed up all the way in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, I mean, first chapter, in the second chapter of Genesis, what he say to man? He said, Adam, he looked at Adam, he was alone. He said, it's not good, right? He said, man, this is not a good thing that man is alone. And if it's not a good thing, it must be a bad thing, right? So he looked and said, man, it's a bad thing that man is alone. In case you haven't realized through this whole series, what we're talking about now is learning this fact that we're called to be planted. And when you're involved in a life-giving group, it's not enough just to be planted on Sunday morning. That's a start. It's a big start because statistics tell us that 20, 30 years ago, the church core was made up about 75, 80% of the people. What's happening now is church attendance in the church core is really made up about 50 to 60% of the people. And the other 40 to 50% come in about once every 4 to 6 weeks. And it's a trend that's happening, and it's going in the wrong direction. And we've got to make sure that we, as a kingdom-minded church and Bible-believing church, that we continue to preach and teach some of the things that were taken for granted 25 years ago. We come back and revisit some of those things, such as learning to stay planted. Some of you think, man, Pastor, why are you spending so much time on this series? This is the 8th sermon in the series because I've got to catch those who only come once every 4 to 6 weeks. I got to make sure I get you in this message because I'm wanting your life to change. And I'm wanting you to see your life grow to the maximum that God has for you. That only happens when you start to be planted. Bring that slide up, Garrett, from last week that I used as we opened up our sermon last week. I've talked about, we have to first of all get planted in the local church. And that's what we're talking about, getting planted in the local church. And we also talk about growing our roots deeper, though. How do you grow your roots deeper? Is you learn to get involved in a life group, and you learn to begin to serve. Get involved in the area of the church where you can serve. Use your giftings. The church staff, about 8 of us went down to Church on the Move this week for their SEAS conference. And if you don't know who Church on the Move is, it's in Tulsa. It's one of the largest churches in the country, running about 10,000 people through the weekend services there. Just tremendous. Pastor Willie George has just done an awesome, awesome job over the last 35 years there in Tulsa. And the Haleys and myself went to one of the workshops there, and we went into one of those workshops, and they was talking about how to connect new people to the church. And we had our notepads ready. I had my phone out. I was ready to take notes. Willie ready to get some great insight. And he gets up, and he says, all right, let me tell you. This is our secret formula to connecting new people to the church. He goes, it boils down to 2 things. We tell people, get involved in a small group and serve. That's our choices. We only give them 2 choices. Because everything else really doesn't matter. Whether the only way to get involved and connect is when you serve and get involved in a small group. And I thought, all right, we're on to something here. We're doing it right because this is where God is leading us. At Destiny, I believe it really comes down to these 2 areas as we grow our roots deep, is that we learn to get connected in a life group. Now, life groups aren't the only thing that happens on just Sunday night. There's also other groups to get involved in. There's Titus. There's Proverbs. There's Gap. There is the youth group. There's other things to get involved in as well. But we got to learn that we got to be involved in some area, a youth ministry somewhere where we're plugging into a smaller group of people. Why? Because we all have giftings that God is wanting to use. And every one of you here have giftings in this room. We don't have time this morning for everybody to use all their giftings all at one time. It's not possible on a Sunday morning. It's not possible in one service. But when you get involved in a life group or in a small group where you're serving, you're allowed to use those giftings. Well, I don't think I have any gifts. Oh, you do. And I've never met anybody who didn't get involved in a life group or a small group of people where their giftings didn't come out and begin to be used. They go there. Maybe you bring the best nacho cheese dip in the whole group. And everybody loves coming the day you come because they know you're bringing the best cheese dip. And you put a smile on people's faces as soon as they see you walk in with that cheese dip. And they're like, man, I'm going to be there. I'm going to this group. They got the best cheese dip. I love it when she brings the cheese dip. She's, it's awesome. You know, wish my wife could get the recipe. And don't you dare I tell her that. But you know what you're thinking in your mind? You love that. Where some other people come and they're great hostess or they're great encouragers. Or some of you like to have the gift of talking. Don't call anybody out. But the fact that you love to talk, you break the ice for other people to maybe open up later and share what they're going through. Maybe some of you, you've gone through a lot of trials in your life, a lot of challenges. And as you open up and share maybe things you've gone through in your life, it makes other people, that you minister to other people, and it makes them want to open up and talk about some of the challenges they've had in their life. And we've all got these giftings that God is wanting to use. And when we get connected to life groups, when we're serving and using those gifts, we become what Scripture calls the body of Christ. He says there is only one God, one calling, one body. And when we come together using those giftings, so if you didn't get that sermon last week, I want you to please go back online, get that sermon, and listen to it. You get to hear Pastor Tom open up and be real, and myself, and we have a good time, and we just put it out there. We had a great time talking back and forth, dialoguing, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So make sure you go online and listen to that this week as well. Today I want to talk to you about the last thought in the service that's in the sermon series is have your eyes been open. Have your eyes been open. You ever have one of those messages, those of you who've ever had to speak, where you feel like God just gives something to you? And this is one of these messages. Some of my messages, God gives me a thought, and I begin to study those thoughts out, and over time, I develop those sermons over time. They come to me over time. A lot of times I get the series first, and then I start getting the messages in the series. Sometimes I'll get three messages in a series, and before the series is over, I got six or eight. It's the way it kind of works out. And they kind of help it over time. Every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will set me down and just give me something like, boom, you know. Today's one of those messages where I was sitting down and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. He said, write this down. Wrote down one thought, and within 15 minutes, I had a sermon just given to me right there. Boom, 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 boom. And I was ready to share it today, and I had it all ready to go on my phone. Had my notes ready on my phone. I got back from the conference, and I was getting ready to transfer it to my notes to the computer so I could print it out. And it was not there on my phone. It had disappeared somewhere in the last couple of days. It had been deleted. I'm not saying it's the devil. It's just electronic. But, you know, probably just happened through putting my pocket with the notepad open. I was taking so many notes this weekend at the conference. And so I was like, ah! You know, it goes my whole sermon. So I was like, all right, guys. So I remember one thing he'd give me, and I wrote it out. And then I opened up the story, and I just soon took about 5 minutes as I did that. The Holy Spirit said, boom, here he is again. Just gave it all to me right back. So we're in luck today. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking, and I believe you're ready to receive the word. Are you ready to receive the word? I'm going to ask you, are you ready to receive the word? All right. There we go. Let's get right into our thought today. I want to ask you this question. Have your eyes been
open?
Okay, here we go. John chapter 9 is our text. We see in the scripture where Jesus healed the blind men, and we see four separate times in scripture where Jesus healed the blind. And this is where he personally healed the blind four times. And I want to read two of these stories today. I believe that these stories will collate with the series we've been talking about and pull some things out of there today. I believe they're going to challenge us. So let's read these stories. John chapter 9, starting 1 through 7. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, what we see happening here is that during this time period, when someone had a physical defect or disability, people oftentimes blamed it on some secret sin that the family must have had. It must have been a curse from a sin from the family. They didn't understand things. They didn't understand genealogy back then. So they blamed everything on this thing. It's kind of like, you know, they're quick to judge. Oh, it must have been something his father did. That's why the son is acting this way. Or this is why they were born this way, because someone in the family had this sin, major sin in their life. And Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sin. But Jesus says, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And I wonder how many of us are really in the same boat. How many of us see people who are messed up, discouraged, are battling things, and we think, boy, what kind of big sin in their life do they have? How do they blow it to get in this boat? What do they do in their life that led them to this place in their life? And I love it because Jesus confronts this attitude right away, and he goes, it wasn't because of any sin. He goes, the reason why they're this way is so that I can display the mighty works of God. Now, as you go back and study this out, Jesus wasn't saying that I made this man blind so I could heal him this day so you would know that I'm God. But if you go back and study the original translation, the way it really reads is this. Jesus said, this man was born blind, and it wasn't because of anything that happened. He was just born this way, but I'm going to take something that was bad, and I'm going to turn around and use it for good. And he goes, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to heal him this day for the glory of God. And I wonder how many of us would we change our outlook if we'll see people who are going through things in our life, instead of seeing them for the turmoil they're in, and say, here's a great chance for God to do something great. Their marriage could be totally turned around. Their life could be totally healed. They could get out of this mess, and God could do something great in their life. Here's an opportunity for God to do something great in their life. What would happen if our attitude would change that way for the people we see that are hurting? And say, here's a great chance for God to resurrect something that was dead and bring it back to life. And Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. He goes, night's coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am what? The light of the world. Everybody say, Jesus is the light.
Jesus is the light.
Come on, Jesus is the light of the world. That's what he said. I am the light of the world. More than once we see this proclamation, we know this is one of the titles given to Jesus, that he is the light of the world. Now listen, after he said this, he spit. Everybody say spit. Come on, say it again. Say he spit. I just wanted to have you say that. I think that's pretty cool. You ain't heard nothing yet. We'll get to it in a minute. After Jesus saying this, he spit on the ground. That's right. He spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, put it in the man's eyes. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. Now we see a similar story, a little shorter, very similar in contrast. See if you notice some of the differences in the story where Jesus healed the blind man also. This is a different occasion, different person in Mark chapter 8. Verse 22 says, then he came to Bethsaida, and some people brought him a blind man, and they begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, and he led him outside the village. When he had what? Boy, Jesus was a spitter. You guys didn't know that. When he spit on the man's eyes, this time he doesn't spit on the ground. This time he spits in the man's eyes. He puts his hand upon him, and Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around, out of focus. So once more, Jesus puts his hands upon the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go back into the village. This is an awesome story we see where the man's eyes are healed instantly. Now, remember me talking about this, that we see a spiritual story like this of a man's physical eyes being healed, but we also can read into it the spiritual context, which is that Jesus is the light of the world. And as Jesus is teaching on being the light of the world, where he opens a man's blinded eyes, he's trying to teach to the Pharisees that have just previously been telling him, and yakking, are you really the son of God? Who are you really? Who are you to do this? Who are you to do that? Who to say this? And they're all questioning him. Now Jesus comes back and heals the blind man and says, I am the light of the world. He's trying to make a point that not only do I have the ability to heal the physical eyes, but I have the ability to open up the blinded eyes spiritually. I'm the light. And so we see the story in Mark chapter 8. Let me point out some points to you I think is very key to the story. In Mark chapter 8, we see where Jesus has to pull the blind man out of the city before he chose to heal him, out of his environment before he chooses to heal him. It says they brought the man to him, Jesus healed him, and what does Jesus do? It says Jesus grabs the man by the hand, and he pulls him out of the city and takes him outside the city before he chose to heal him. Does anybody else find that interesting? Did Jesus have the power to heal him inside the city? He did, didn't he? We know this to be true. If he wanted to, he could have healed the man inside the city. But there was something about the environment that Jesus could not or chose not to heal in that environment. And what was the environment? We see it in the chapters before, in the verses before. We see where they're questioning Jesus. We see where the Pharisees were quick in this area. They were very much a ruling part of this area. The Pharisees were ruling this area, and they're always up in Jesus' business. Jesus, you say you're the Son of God, but why are you breaking the rules? You're a rule breaker. Remember, the Pharisees, God gave 10 commandments, but the Pharisees wrote hundreds of commands of their own on how to follow God. And when Jesus didn't obey their rules, they got mad. And they called him, you can't be the Son of God. Look at you, you're breaking these rules. And Jesus is like, dude, I love it because, you know, even Jesus has his boiling point here. Did Jesus love the Pharisees? Yes. Did he die for the Pharisees? Yes. Is his grace for the Pharisees? Yes. But he also said, man, you guys are a bunch of vipers. He's like, you're wicked in your heart. He was like fed up to hear with them always coming and saying, you're a rule breaker. You're not the Son of God. And so he's like, listen, I've come to open your eyes. Don't be spiritually blinded. See, I'm the light of the world. Do you think I have the power to heal this man's eyes if I wasn't the Son of God? And so we see this happening here. And so Jesus, he had the same problem. Remember, he was in the hometown. Remember? He went back to his hometown. He said he could do very little works there. Healed a couple of headaches maybe, you know. But he couldn't do hardly anything there. He had to leave. Why? Because he wasn't welcome there. Because of their unbelief. There was so much unbelief where he's at. God had to take him out of that unbelief environment and set him into a place where he could choose to heal him. So let me say this to you now. Is it not possible that the reason you and I are not seeing spiritually the way we need to see is because we haven't allowed God to take us out of our old environment and place us into an environment where he can change us? That'll preach right there. And it goes right along what we're talking about, because how many of us, we want God to change us, we want God to heal us, but we don't want to move out of our environment. He had to take the man out of his environment to heal him. How many of us are stuck in our environment? We don't want to do anything. We got our own routine, and he's wanting to change us by changing our environment. He wants you to get planted in the local church on a consistent basis. And he also wants you to get planted in a life-giving group, in a place where you can serve. He wants you to get you out of your environment and place you in an environment that will nurture you, where he can touch you, where he can heal you, where he can change you, where he can allow your eyes to be opened. Man, how many of us are not being healed spiritually in our life when it comes to being able to see God the way we need to because we're stuck in our environment? Environments matter. So when Pastor TJ comes to us in Gap and says, hey, listen, guys, I know that you love the Lord, but we got to change some of the people we're hanging around. We got to change some of the places we used to go. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because I want God to change me, but I can't stay in that same environment and expect God to change me. As it comes a time, I got to leave that environment and say, no, I got to surround myself in a different environment so that God can allow me to see. We see where God changes his environment, pulls them outside the city. Some people never see because they never change their environment. Then it says that Jesus spit in both of their eyes. We see this happening. Now, in one story, we see where Jesus actually spit on the ground, made the mud, and then put it in his eyes. In the other story, it says that Jesus directly spit in his eyes. The story says that Jesus directly spit in his eyes. And in case you didn't get that, let me tell you one more time. Our Savior, who died on the cross, got in a man's face and spit in his eyes. Now that should rock your world this morning. Because I don't care how much you translate this, we can get the Greek and the Hebrew out, and we can translate that he spatteth upon his eyeth. He projected his saliva through the aireth upon his face. Either way you put it, this man hawked it up and spit right in his eye. I mean, I can't read that and just think, what were you thinking, God? What were you thinking? Because in my case, let me just tell you this. I love that you want to love the Lord and you want to follow Scripture. But today at the church, if you come to me and say, Pastor Gene, I want to be like Jesus, and you spit in my face, I'm going to help you meet Jesus today. I mean, that's one of the most degrading things that somebody can do to a person, spit in their face, right? I mean, there's nothing else. You can talk about my mama, I'll be mad. But you spit in my face, whoo, man. That's about the most degrading thing you can do to somebody, is spit in their face. And you spit in my face, I'm probably going to take off my pastor's hat and we're going to go. But just be honest. And you'd be the same way if someone spits in your face. And so if this story really, really gets me, because I look at these guys' reaction. When Jesus spits in their face, and they're blind, but they can hear. They're blind, but they ain't stupid. They know when I hear a certain sound, they know what that follows. They know what it means. They can know what it sounds like to hear someone spit. And they know what it feels like when someone spits on you. They could feel it. They could hear it. They could sense it. They knew they were being spat upon. And what was their reaction? So how dare you, Jesus, spit on me? Oh. Get that spit off me. Don't put that mud on my face. Now, some theologians believe that, why did he spit on the ground for one and actually spit in the eye of the other? There's no proof of this. Some believe that maybe one man actually was missing his eyeballs and that maybe Jesus was actually forming, because out of the dust of the earth we came and formed, right? And so maybe Jesus was transferring not only his saliva but also mixing in the mud to make eyeballs. We don't know that by fact. That's just a theory. But for whatever reason, we know this, that spit was involved in both cases. And it would have offended any one of us, would have been offended if someone had spit on us. Spit on their hand and place it on us. You spit on your hand, go to pray for me, I will knock you out. Don't do that. But Jesus was doing something here, and I love it because they were not offended. They were not offended. Come here, TJ. See, this is our biggest problems that we have. Listen, don't worry, those glasses are so big. We don't have a chance on these eyes getting spat upon, all right? That's why he wore those safety glasses today. He knew Pastor Gene was going to illustrate a sermon. No, those are Boss. I like those. Those look nice. Okay. If TJ's here and say, God, I want more of you, raise your hands. God, I want you to do more in my life. God, I want you to help me see further. God, I want you to change my life. God, I want you to grow my roots deep. Now, listen, we're not talking about grace, okay? Put your hands down a second once you get tired. I'm not talking about grace, because grace is something totally different, okay? We receive God's grace and love, and he gives us his grace no matter where we're at. His grace comes to us. But for many of us, we use grace kind of like I use the hall pass in school, because my teacher may have accidentally left some hall passes where I could find them, and I had a few extra in my pocket every day. Just in case I got caught out in the hall after the bell rung, I always had a hall pass. Some of us, we use grace as our hall pass. You know, God wants us to change, and we're like, I got a hall pass, I got grace. God's asking you to change. Well, what about grace? We're covered in grace. You know, this is what I'm talking about, because we raise our hands, say, God, I want you to change me. God, I want you to do something new in me. You saved me, and I'm growing now. Now what's the next step? God, I want you to change me. I want you to take me to a different level. I want you to move me from glory to glory. I want you to change who I am. And he says, all right, TJ, but first of all, if I can change you, I got you to change the way you're treating your wife. You got to treat her better. If you want me to use you the way I'm wanting to use you, you got to let go of your wallet that you're hanging on to so tight. I want you to learn to be a giver. You got to let go of being selfish of your time. And he starts poking at us, and it offends us because he's invading our world. He's trying to get us to change, and we get offended, and we put our hands down, and we go home. We get so easily offended. Thank you. We get so easily offended when the Word of God challenges us to change, and then we wonder why we live in blindness and darkness. I want to see a spiritual 3D, Pastor. I want God to let me see it spiritually 3D. Why is that? What can I see? I wonder if Paul, remember when Saul was blinded upon the road, Damascus Road? I mean, the angel of the Lord appeared before and the light of the world hit him. It blinded him. It knocked him off his horse. You talking about being offended. How dare he knock me off my horse and blind me? But he came and he accepted the correction of the Lord. And when he did, his scales fell off his eyes and he could see. And no, he couldn't just see physically. But then he had an insight. He could see things spiritually like no other man has ever seen before. Went on to write most of our New Testament. The Holy Spirit used him to see insight. Why? Because not only could he see physically, but he had an ability to see beyond that. He could have been offended. God, how dare you knock me off my horse? How dare you bring me to a place of embarrassment? How dare you do this? But instead, what if the blind man had done it? How dare you spit on me? I know you're Jesus, but how dare you spit on me? Instead, it's like, yes, God. You chose to spit on me. I don't understand it. But I know this one thing. I'm going to do what you say. I know there's power in your correction. I know there's power when you spit. There's something different about your spit. There's something different when you're poking. There's something different when you're telling me to change. There's something different because you got a miracle waiting on me for those who obey. You got a place that you're asking me to be. And when I show up and go out of obedience, it's there you're going to meet me. How many of us are so quick to be offended when God's trying to change us? And maybe that's the reason why our roots aren't growing any deeper than they have. Maybe that's why we're not seeing any deeper in our vision spiritually than we see now. Because we're quick to be offended. These guys were not quick to be offended. They accepted what God had done, what Jesus had done. And reason why was the spit so important? I believe I was thinking about it. As I prayed about it, I was like, what is with a spit? And I began to think about what's today? What is saliva? What is it really used for today? And I thought, you know, really when you think about it, saliva, a spit is how we find out the DNA of a person today, right? It's how we use. When they have evidence, they bring in the DNA, they do a DNA testing. What do? They check a person's saliva. I mean, Maury's making a killing on this, okay? He bases his whole show on this thing, you know. Boy, can you help me find out who my baby daddy is, you know, and all these, they got 10 guys, and one of you is a father, and it's sad but true, and they take the cotton swabs out, and they get their saliva, and they come back and find out who's the baby's father. The DNA is what? DNA is testing, and they test the saliva to find out who the father is. Could it be that through the saliva that God was saying this, that I am wanting to place in them my DNA, that they can learn to see the way that I see, that he's trying to do something. And sometimes when God is trying to do something in our life, it confronts us. It's painful. It's embarrassing, but he's confronting us and he's trying to put his DNA into us that we can learn to see what he sees. See, when I've got his DNA, I can learn to see beyond my hurt. I can learn to see beyond my pain. I can see things at a deeper level. I can see things at a more mature level. I can see things for the spiritual context that God is wanting to do. That, yeah, this is a season I'm going through, but God, you're changing me for a different season. God, you're causing me to go through this blindness for a season where I can see clearly. You're causing me to go walk through this valley of the shadow of death because you've got a mountaintop you're trying to take me to. You see, there is an in-depth vision that comes when we allow His DNA to be put upon us and He changes us. Paul had that DNA put in him and it changed him. Radically changed his life. How many of us don't see the spiritual depth that God wants us to see because we had not allowed His DNA to be placed in our life? When people see me, they should see God's DNA in my life. When people see me, they should say, man, that guy has got God's love. That guy has got God's patience. That guy has got forgiveness to give. He's got mercy to give. He's got grace to give. He's got compassion to give. When they see you, do they see God's DNA? Do they see traces of, I don't say you're perfect, because none of us are, and we all blow it from time to time. But they should also see and say, you know what, there's traces, there's evidence here of the DNA of God. DNA of the Holy Spirit alive in their life. Are you getting this morning? All right. I love it in John 9. In John chapter 9, we read the story. And it says, Jesus told the blind man, the first one he told, remember, to go out. He said, hey, take him out of the city before he healed him. In this story, he heals him in the city. And then he told him to go to the pool of Siloam to wash off. And so I began to think about that. And I was looking it up. And I was studying about the pool of Siloam. And we see where the pool of Siloam was discovered many years ago by someone who had actually lied about its location. Dreamt of this location, and so what happened with this, we had atheists and people coming and saying, the Bible's not true because there's nowhere to be found. This pool of Siloam is nowhere to be found. They can't find it. If it was there, where is it now? And they couldn't find it. But in 2005, we see where they were actually in the city of David, the original city of David, Jerusalem. They were digging up a sewer line that had broke, and they hit some stone. And they called in the archaeologists because anytime that happens, of course, in the biblical Holy Land, they call in archaeologists to make sure there's nothing there that hasn't been discovered. And they start going back and pulling back and they discover that this was the original pool of Siloam talked about in Scripture. It was made in three different levels. It had five steps and then it would flatten off and then five more steps and flatten off and then five more steps and it flatten off. It was this huge pool about the size of two football fields in the original. And it was located, which was now in the city, but at that time, the original timing of this miracle that happened, it was located outside the city walls. You follow me here? So first of all, know this, that the Word of God is always true. It always backs up itself. When we see this pool being discovered, and they have confirmed without a doubt, 100%, this is the original pool of Siloam that was talked about in the story of the Bible. It's a great thing. You can go online, you can Google it, and you'll see they've already taken out about half of it out and have where you can actually see it there. It's amazing. But this is actually outside the walls. And I thought about it. I said, God, why did you send this man to this pool? That's the question I had in my heart. Why did you send this man to the pool? And when I read that this pool was outside the walls of the city, I thought that's exactly where it's at because the Holy Spirit dropped this in my heart, and many times that God is wanting you and I, He's wanting for you and I to have the scales fall off our eyes. He's wanting you and I to see clearly. He's got to take us outside our four walls to open our eyes. He's got to take us outside our four walls because all of us have built up these walls around us. Some of them bigger, some of them smaller. Walls of isolation, walls of comfortability, walls of, I just want to be right here, nowhere else. This is where I like to be. And so we've all built up these walls around us. And if it's not that God is asking us to step out of our walls so that He can then open up our eyes to everything He wants to show us. This man had to leave the city walls to go to the pool. He washes off. And when he washes it off, of course, he can see. Now, think about it. This man, he could have taken a shortcut, couldn't he? What if Jesus had put the mud in his eyes? And this man said, you know what? That's on the outside of the walls. I don't know the outside. I'm blind. I've kind of got this inside the city, the square. I've kind of got it figured out being blind. Outside the city, that's kind of a dangerous place for me. So I don't want to venture out there. What if I just go ahead and take this mud and go back to my house or go back to my parents' house and wash there? He didn't do that, did he? He was obedient, and he went where God had called him, and it was there that God met him. Yeah, God met him in the city. God spit in his eyes and put the mud in the city, but he wasn't healed until he was obedient and showing up where God had called him to be. And it's the same question we've been asking this whole series is, are we where God is calling us to be? Are we showing up where God's called us to show up? Are we getting outside of ourselves and saying, I'm stepping out of the person I am, out of my own desires, and saying, God, I want to step into your kingdom. God, I want to see things differently. God, I want you to plant me deep. And sometimes that happens when I step out of where I am. Say, God, I'm being obedient. Where do you want to meet me? Yeah. We're reading this just one chapter a day for 30 days. We're 2 weeks into this, 30-day challenge. And I hope that you're reading the scripture, because I hope that you're meeting God there. When we open up the word of God, that's where we're saying, God, I'm meeting you here. This is my pool. This is where I'm opening up. I'm getting out of myself. I'm getting out of my everyday habits, and I'm meeting you somewhere before I go to bed or during the lunch hour, before the morning when I get up. I'm opening up your word. I'm reading the chapter of the Lord. I'm meeting you there. God, this is my pool. God, I want you to open my eyes to the things, the spiritual insights you have in my life. Are we meeting God where he's asked us to meet him? How many of us have not done that? How many of us have not met God where he's asked to meet us? He told him to go wash in the pool. And today, the last point I want to make here. How many will let me go to about 12:20? You may let me go. Raise your hand if I'm going to go 12:20. That's great, because my watch is 10 after 11 right now. I forgot to set it up, so we're in good shape. You forgot about that one. And anybody else here forget to set your watch up right now and just looked at it and said, man, it is early. Okay. The last point I want to make today here in Mark chapter 8. So we see the story where Jesus goes, this man, he touches his eyes. He's praying for him, puts some mud in his eyes. He touches him, you know. This is actually a different story. He spits in this guy's eyes. He touches his eyes. He prays for him. And when he opens his eyes, what does he say? Hallelujah, I can see. He says, no. He goes, I see people, but they're kind of like trees. How many? That's not good. When you look at somebody and they say, you look like a tree, that's not a good compliment. His eyes are not in focus yet. He's not seeing clear. He's seeing better, but he's not seeing clear. He's out of focus. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus then puts his hands back on his eyes, prays for him again, and when he removes his hand after touching him again, what happens? The soundtrack plays and he goes, I can see clearly now. That's right, baby. And so he can see clearly now after the second time Jesus touches him. How many of us have been touched by the Lord in a time in our life? He said, God, you touched me. I see, but maybe the reason why we're not seeing as clear today as we need to is because we haven't allowed God to touch us again. Maybe we've settled in for a one-time touch with God, and God says, you know what? I want to touch you more than once. Because I realize this statement, the more he touches me, the clearer I see. Let me say it again, because that's deep. The more he touches me, the clearer I see. Every time I find myself in the presence of God, I see more. It's like another layer is peeled back for me. It's like something else is removed, and I can see clear. I see him in a depth. I'm reading scripture, and I'm finding things, even though I've been preaching for 20 years, new things are coming. Why? Because I'm allowing him to touch me daily. I'm allowing him to touch me weekly. I'm finding time in his presence. And the more I allow him to touch me, the clearer I will see. No wonder we walk around in the fog. It was hard driving here this morning, wasn't it? Especially those who came to the first service, it was like you couldn't see more than 15, 20 feet in front of you because the fog was so thick. For some of us here, that's the way it is. It's like a fog in our life. We see, but it's not as clear as it should be. But the more God touches me, the more I let his light. See, the sun's come out this morning. It's burned off the fog since we've been in church. Some of you let the sun come out in your life and touch you and burn away the spiritual fog in your life that you can see clearly again. He's not changed, I have. and say, God, I got to find myself in your presence. I got to find myself in your word. I got to find myself in your worship. I got to find myself engaged in where you are because I need you to touch me again, God. Lord, I need you to touch me again, God. Knock the scales off my eyes. Clear the fog out of my life. Allow me to see like you see. Allow me to see clear. And the more I'm in his presence, whether it's spending time in worship, whether it's opening up his word, the longer I'm in his presence, the more he touches me, the clearer I see. I want God to touch me. I want our musicians to come this morning. So I'll ask you this last question. It's a question we've been asking the last couple of weeks here. So what's stopping you from seeing? What's stopping you today from seeing God more clearly in your life? For some of us, it's just we can't get over the fact that it offends us. God asks us to do something that offends us and we stop because we don't want to let go. For others of us, it's because we haven't changed our environment. Or for other people, it's because God's asked us to break out of our selfish walls and get out to a new place so he can show us. For other people, you've done that, but you haven't allowed God to touch you in a fresh way in a long time. What's stopping you today? I want you to grow your roots deeper than you've ever grown them before. And that happens when we say, God, open up my eyes to see you. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I want to ask you this question. If you're here today and say, Pastor, you're talking about having your spiritual eyes opened up, I can tell you that I've never had my spiritual eyes opened ever. I've never even accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, you're in the right spot today. Because we're going to give you an opportunity right now. Nobody's looking around but me. We won't embarrass you one bit, but we want to give you a chance just to make this decision today. If this is you today, say, Pastor, I want Jesus to touch my eyes today. I want to see him. I want to ask him to be Lord of my life. I've never asked him to be Lord of my life before. And today I want to ask him into my life. Nobody's looking but me. Can you raise your hands? If you, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus. Raise your hand if that's you today. You want to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise your hand one more time. You haven't done it yet. Raise it where I can see it. Nobody's looking but me. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these today? So the last time I'm going to ask you, if you want to join those who raised their hand to say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus. Raise it right now. Raise it high. Thank you. Let's say this prayer together. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life today. All of my sin, all of my hurt, all of my dreams, I give you everything today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day, I will follow after you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family, God. Come on, give him a hand. That's a great thing. Now listen today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we got a special gift for you. I want you to stop by the very back here in the back. Scott's going to be in the back here. We got some free Bibles we want to give you. Some other information back there. Stop by there and receive one of those free Bibles today and allow us just to give you that gift today. You need to be involved in a church home. If you don't have a church home, come back. Get planted here. We're talking about the word planted. Get back planted here. The rest of us today, how many say, Pastor, I am ready to get planted like I never had before. I want God to open my eyes like he never has before. I want him to touch me fresh like he never has before. If that's you, I want you to stand on your feet today. Say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want God just to break me free. I want him to help me not to be offended. I want to help me get out of myself and change my environment. And I want God to touch me fresh and anew today. If that's you, I want you to join me around the front today. Can we close out together? We're going to sing this song together. We just want to step out in agreement today. That's what we're doing. As we come to the front, we're simply saying, I'm stepping out into agreement with this word spoken over my life today. So we invite you, those who want you, to join us around the front. We're going to sing this song that simply says, Amazing Grace, I've been set free. How many have been set free here today? Man, thank the Lord. He has set us free. Squeeze into the front, guys. Make room for those coming in behind you. Let's sing it together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Put your hands one more time. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are moving us. God, you are changing us. We declare in our heart that, Father, this year we're going to grow our roots deeper than ever before. Help us to lay aside selfish things, things that have offended us, selfish reasons that have kept us from serving, kept us from planting, kept us from building relationships outside of our walls. And God, I pray that you grow us deep, that we can minister one to another, we can support each other, Lord, we can encourage each other, pray one for another. And God, I pray that you're growing people deep in this room. At Destiny Church, that's our cry. That God, you would grow us deeper. Growing our spiritual roots deeper, God. That we stay planted in who you are. And the knowledge of who you are. May our eyes see clearer. May our hands be your hands. May our feet be your feet, God. May you use us any way you want. And Father, we thank you for this series that has spoken to our life, has challenged us. Now, may we apply it and walk it out every day. I'm going to walk it out, Father. I'm going to walk it out. No matter how much it confronts me, I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to live it. We say yes to you, and we say together, amen. One more time, put your hands together and bless the Lord. There you go. Hallelujah. Give somebody a big high five and say, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. God bless you. Remember, if you're married, you haven't signed up yet, stop by the information center and sign up for that marriage retreat.